worship, warming up everybody up, and I really believe that. That's what church is all about. Talking to one another face to face, connecting with God and with each other. So we're going to go ahead and pray. I want to do a special prayer because this month, this week actually, is going to be a very historic month. And as Brett said, the announcement, Tuesday evening at Western Michigan, we're going to have my first official Bible study group. And I know Dave is very fired up. I know Kevin is fired up. I know Walter's fired up. Who want to go on a road trip 45 miles from here? Pray. I want to pray for that. Also, we're going to start next week the first ever Bible talk on campus in Cornerstone. Amen to that. Woo! So it's happening the same week in Kalamazoo and in Cornerstone, and we need prayers. We got to send up prayers. We got to pray for people to be able to walk in. I know Chris and Grace and many other people are reaching out to you. I'm very excited about it because God, I believe, will open the doors when we step out in faith. Amen to that. Also, I heard that Joe LaGrosse is going to Europe. I don't see him. Maybe he's on the drill, but we got to pray for him too, as the army is sending him out, God's army. Hopefully he will make an impact and may have a Bible talk on campus too. Let's go ahead and pray. Father, it's so good to be awake and be alive. And I know we are maybe a little bit jet lagged for an hour. But God, it's come to get together as a body. Just have fellowship. Warm fellowship, be able to look at one another, be able to hug and shake hands and hi-fi and really comfort, encourage, and really warm our hearts up, God. Lord, this month we've been praying and thinking and planning. This is the week as we have our first Bible talk on campus at Kalamazoo. And I pray that you'll open the doors, that you use me and Dave and everybody else, Lord, Kevin and Walter, and I know there are other folks, Lauren, and you bring Madison back very quickly, and God, that we can advance the gospel and spread it fearlessly. God, that we'll have faith, that we'll invite people and be able to talk about a parable and just be able to plant seeds. We pray for that monthly Bible talk. It's going to be so awesome, Lord. We also pray for Cornerstone, and God, I know many folks are hungry and thirsty for the word, to hear the true gospel, the full gospel, and not the tickling kind of gospel, but God, the whole, full. Father, we also pray for Joe, and God, prepare him and Jenny and the whole family as they make their, as Joe goes and be able to be serve in the army in Europe and Italy. And God, I pray that you'll help him and strengthen him, God, in his journey there. And God, this morning, this message is so much in my heart, and I know I love the scriptures in Deuteronomy. It just talks about our walk with you. And then I pray that each one of us here will take responsibility about their life, their journey with you. God, thank you for this time. Open our hearts and our mind as we soak in the scriptures deep in that will make root and forever change our lives. Oh, we love you. In his name we pray. Amen. Turn with me to Deuteronomy chapter 8. I've spoke and taught many times the scripture in staff meetings and churches, and I want to do it in a way that we can be able to make it practical. Man, I'm starting early, 9:45. Early is preaching the word today. I'm according to the clock, but appreciate everybody coming early. And I want to make it practical. And I want to be able to talk to the church and focus on these three talking points, that God is our Father, is your Father, is my Father. All our physical fathers will pass away, but our Heavenly Father will be there forever. Secondly, God allows the testings and the trials in your life. He allows it. And I hope I can convince you that today. It's not some church or institution or people or me, but it's God loving. I'm going to convince you from the scripture. Amen? And finally, I really believe we got to be grateful. When we are grateful for what God has done, we'll be thankful and we're going to praise God together. Amen? In Deuteronomy chapter 8, we're going to pick up verse 1. Be careful to follow every command I'm giving you today so that you may enter, you may live and increase and may enter and possess the land that the Lord promised on oath to your forefathers. Remember how the Lord your God led you all the way in the desert these 40 years to humble you and to test you in order to know what was in your heart. Whether or not you would keep his commands. He humbled you, causing you to hunger. Wow. Think about that scripture a little bit. And then, feeding you with manna. Which neither you nor your fathers had known, to teach you that man does not live on Panera bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. Your clothes did not wear out. Think about that for 40 years. What kind of clothes did they have back in the day? I don't think they had washing machine and dryers back in the day. And your feet did not swell during these 40 years. Did anyone have swelling feet in their lifetime? But these guys, 40 years, it didn't swell. After all that walking. That's how God takes care of your feet for 40 years. Very personal. Know then in your heart that as a man disciplines his son, so the Lord your God disciplines you. I had to do a communion today, and 10-minute point. I did it in a minute and a half, so I really compressed my message with them, like bullet points, throwing at them. But I hope I can explain very clearly this point here. You got to understand, church, that everybody, we're all in a journey, okay? We are on a journey, okay? Praise God, we're not walking the desert, amen? So be grateful about that one. We are on a journey. And as we go along the journey, we come out of our teen days and we come out of our campuses, our schools, we went to college, and then you become a single, and then maybe single for a while, and some of us get married early, and then we get married, and then we wait, or then some decide, okay, we're going to have kids, and then you have kids, and then, and life goes on, right? They're like 20, 30 years span. That's your journey. And God is saying along the way, we're going to have issues in our heart. We will. And so God is saying, I'm going to bring in the trial, I'm going to bring in the testing to see what is in your heart. I didn't bring it. Church didn't bring it. Oh, that church hurt me. Nope. It doesn't say anything about the church right here. God loves it. Now, what I learned over the years, and I learned back in the early 90s, took me 3-4 years to figure this out. I was in God's doghouse. You know what that expression means. But I thought somebody else, the church authority or leadership at the time back in the early 90s, they put me in the doghouse. You know how that is? You get too attached to this one man or one person and then not close to God, and then it's all about him and everything what he says, you take it personal. And between 91, 92, 93, up till 94, early part of 94, I had the most testings of my life. And I was like, where is God? Money shortage. Didn't have a vehicle. Single, struggling. Just got engaged, no money. Didn't have any money to have a wedding. And I was so prideful to even ask. I was ready to do a wedding in someone's back home on the steps. You know how the steps were? You know, like certain homes, the balcony, and then, you know, like their deck, and they have steps going up. Hey, we can have the brides and groom and everybody stand up. We'll have an incredible wedding. And I shared with my, at the time, engaged fiance, Pamela Matthew. She started crying, and it was not tears of joy. And then I was in the doghouse again. I wanted to come on an elephant to get married. You want me to go on? You haven't heard all my stories yet. I didn't want to wear a coat or a pant. I just wanted to wear just Gandhi style, sharp though, I mean polished, all that. Then there was more tears of it was not tears of joy. We're talking about a few months before the wedding day. Oh my goodness. This started even before marriage. Trial after trial after trial. It didn't stop. That was just Pam and I. We had communications problem. I'll say one thing, and she takes another way, and she says it, and I take another way. There's one trial where I was so skinny that I got to share this. I was 110 pounds, and Pam was 120. It's not her fault, but it was just I I was really skinny, and we had sisters and brothers trying to encourage me to eat well, and I was losing weight and had all kinds of problems and stomach and in and out of the doctors. And there was one midweek I was so skinny that the brothers had to come to the bedroom, pick me up to the meeting, to the midweek. Literally, I couldn't stand. Everything I ate just kind of went out, you know, just free flowing, you know, that kind of a thing. So that's it. I'm gonna move on. And somehow I'm not putting on weight, you know, before the wedding date. And then we had this conversation. Okay, I don't want to marry a stick. I'm glad we can all laugh about this. But back in the day, it wasn't all laughing. I was hurt. How dare you say that? It was like a month before. Like, what am I supposed to do? Just keep on eating so I can put on and do well and whatever the case may be. Trial after trial after trial. Well, we've bought this house. And the landlord was a cop. And let's just say the toilet, the bathroom, there's just a hole there. And there's no pipes. There's no basin. And I'm like telling the landlord, what kind of bathroom is this? Well, we're working on it. I said, what do you mean you're working on it? You sign the lease. You want a house? Here it is. You sign the lease. Also, I feel your pain. Pray for the Browns. They need a place to stay next month. All right? That's a trial. And so, honey, listen, don't worry. I'll get on the landlord's case, and finally he'll fix the bathroom. And for 6 months, it was just a hole. We had to go to neighbor's home to get water. And so this funny thing happened one trial as soon as we got married. One of our midweek bros, sisters, we don't have water at home. We can't have any tea or coffee. So this midweek, this midweek Bible talk, we're all going to take 2 buckets of water, go to a neighbor's home around the corner, pick up the bucket and come home. That was our midweek. That was our Bible talk. And they all looked at me, seriously, we're going to do this? Please, guys, I'm tired. We need help. So we all prayed, sang a song, and we all went to a neighbor's home. Poor neighbor. He took like, 10, 15 buckets of water. Well, that was a trial. One of our neighbors said, is that a hostel you're running there? You know, hostel, like, you know, people come in and out all the time, boys and girls, in and out. I said, you know, we're having it's a daily fellowship. Daily fellowship? What's that? I had no idea. Trials with our neighbors. 6 months later, I finally told the landlord, if you're not going to fix it, I'm not paying you rent. He got scared. He runs a police station. I had to get some guts to. But during that 6 months, Pam and I had the most trials. We'll talk more about the workshop. I had the workshop in May. But I was in God's doghouse. There's a lot of other trials, but I want to keep time there. And I realized it was my pride. It was not man. It wasn't Pam. It was not landlord. It was not the neighbors. It was God allowing me and testing my heart for me to be humble. That's our journey. And brothers, sisters, and friends, when you don't deal with your heart, God is going to allow trials in your life to pop up every single day, every week, every month, every year. God has no problem with it because He wants to allow this to happen so you can be open and humble out. Why do we talk about it being in triads and family groups and talking together, talking about hearts? It's because the more and the faster we deal with issues in our heart, there's less trials. Did you know that? I give you free insight. The faster you deal with your issues in your heart, less trials you'll have. Let me say it again. Oh, I don't know. You know what? Like, I don't want any more trial. I don't want. I'm done. I'm done with God. You know what? When you become humble, those trials will change. And then God gives you more trials another way. Just so you can stay humble. So we can be humble throughout the journey. What are some issues in your heart? So God's exposing your heart. He's testing your heart. Okay? You got to figure out. Now God already knows what's in your heart. He already knows, but do you know it's in there? So what do you have to do, brothers and sisters and friends? Surface it. Talk about it. And that's what I didn't do for 3 years. I didn't talk about it. I was a closed book. I was not open. It was pride. Does that make sense? And if you're not talking, you're going to be facing trials your whole life, brothers and sisters. I'm trying to help you out. God is trying to help you out. Just talk. Pick up the phone. Bro, this is bugging me. I want to talk about it. Don't wait for someone else to bring it up. You bring it up. Isn't it embarrassing somebody else brings it up? Bro, I want to talk to you about this. Like what? What do you want to talk about? That's where we pray. And you know, sometimes we need to get training how to do that. I understand. If you had a dysfunctional family growing up, it was all shut down. No one ever talked in the family. They all smiled at each other. Or they shouted at each other. I don't know. You need a kickstart how to do that. And we're here as a church, as a community, to help one another up. Yeah? All right. So what are some... Anger is a big thing. We all struggle. Okay? We have addiction. That means we put idols in front of our lives. Unforgiveness. Brokenness. Bitterness. Can you see it? And I want to encourage the church to talk about, and I think the way it's done is you write a timeline of your life. This month, I want to encourage everyone to do it. You know, when I sat down with Tony maybe less than a year, it really helped me to understand where he came from. When Tony's dad left him when he was 4, I understood the abandonment. It's hard. My dad didn't do that to me, so I had a better upbringing, and he did. Then stepdad comes along, it's not the same. It's not the same. And so as a child, you grow up with a lot of feelings. A lot of feelings. That's a huge issue. How do you expect a 5-year-old, a 6-year-old, a 7-year-old to deal with their heart? They don't know. Is it loneliness, abandonment, anger? Who's my dad? Doesn't he love me? It's a lot. And so God allows things in life to get that stuff out. And so when we sat down with the whole timeline, it took, I don't know how many months, 40 years of, literally 40 years of drama. It took a few sessions to finally get everything out. It helped me to understand him so I can help him better. And every person we study the Bible with, they do a timeline, right? We want to get to know them, correct? How about we all as a church do that? In our triad, in our one-on-one, share who we are. Just talk about it. That's it. Write down, this is how I felt. And then as you talk, you can talk about all this. And the faster we identify our heart, where is our anger coming from? Where is our bitterness coming from? The more and more you connect with your heart, you're talking about it. And the faster we do it as a church, the faster we can move forward and put bygones of bygones, and maybe it's deep, talk about it. I'm not saying it's a quick fix. It might take a few weeks, maybe a few months. But start somewhere in your life. We got to replace it. That's what God says. Every word that comes out of my mouth, that means there's a scripture for every issue in your life. Amen? Anger. Do not let your sun come down. Go down. Today is a sunny day. Amen? What time is it today? I don't know. 5:30? 6 o'clock? Ephesians 4:26. Replace anger with that scripture. Deal with it quickly. Why? Because then Satan will not put a foothold in your heart. You want to kick him out. He works on angry people. John 15, 1, 5. You can come out of any addictions. Any. It talks about remain in me, I remain in you. You got to stay connected. That's what God is saying. Connect with me every single day. You're part of my branch. And the more and more unconnected you are, then fruit's going to come. And some of us need more pruning. And the more and more you do that, you become different and you change. Ephesians 4, 31, 32. Let's turn over there. Keep your finger away. Coming back to Deuteronomy. Oh, it's only 10:05. I got plenty of time. I love it. I hope you had your breakfast. Okay, Ephesians 4, 31 and 32. Get rid of all bitterness, rage and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another. Forgiving each other, just as Christ God forgave you. I want us to think about that. If you have a hard time forgiving people, you're holding it towards them, maybe you don't understand how much God forgave you. Maybe you need to do some reflection. Talk about it. You got to ask yourself, am I really free from this? If you don't feel forgiven by God, then why don't you forgive other people? I'm not saying do your whole conversion again. Maybe you need to do it. You got to study the Bible. Do a timeline. That's what I do. I sit with somebody. I talk about timeline. Okay, when did you repent? I stopped smoking. That's good. What about the other stuff? What other stuff? They have no idea. They haven't read their Bible. That's okay. We'll talk another time. I'm not like, you don't know? No, you don't do that approach. You don't put them to anyone down, right? You don't condemn, like, you don't know the Bible? Don't do that. That's the training I'm giving 12 to 1. Compassionate. You show compassion the way Christ did. So the more and more you are in touch with what God has forgiven your sins, you can do that. We all can be so forgiving, quick to forgive, slow to anger. He can. We got to go to the cross. Do you ever think about why you couldn't forgive quickly? That's when I happened in 91, 92, 93, in the early days. I wasn't quick to forgive Pam. Pam would say, what, 7 times sorry? Sorry, honey. Sorry, honey. No, you're not. Sorry, honey. You know you're not. Sorry, honey. You don't have any tone in it. You're not remorse. You're not broken. Okay, back to the doghouse again. It's because I was so hurt and I didn't go to God about my heart. I was ready to be like a gunslinger. You didn't forgive me. I shoot you again. No, that's not, no. Did God do that to you? No. You would have been shot dead a long time ago. But you know, you think about your walk with God and your connection with God, it makes it so beautiful. It makes it so beautiful. Ephesians 6, 10 to 18, the armor of God. And I want to encourage the church in the next few weeks to really sit down, maybe near a triad, talk about, share with each other timeline. Then we have more compassion with each other. We all synced up in our relationship. Does that make sense? And once you deal with that, put the armor of God back in. You got to do that. Let's go back to Deuteronomy. There are a couple of great points here, and then we'll close up and we'll take the communion together. Verse 6, Deuteronomy 8. Observe the commands of the Lord your God, walking in His ways and revering Him, for the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land. A land with streams and pools of water, with springs flowing to the valleys and hills, a land to which wheat and barley, vines and fig trees, pomegranates, olive oil and honey, to land where bread will not be scarce and you will lack what? Nothing. God said, I'm going to give you everything to the point where you won't lack anything in your life. That's how God is. God doesn't hold back blessing. He wants to. He wants to give it all. Everything in the land. He wants you to enjoy. But when I was in God's doghouse, I didn't feel that way. Like, oh, you know what? I can't get water. What kind of landlord is this? I was all negative. Does that make sense? So when you're humble, when you walk with the Lord, everything changes. A land with rocks and iron, and you can dig copper out of the hills. When you have eaten and are satisfied, what should you do? Praise the Lord your God for the good land He has given you. You know, I go to Ming Tan and I get satisfied. I don't know about you. Man, I'll tell you, that sushi is so good. If you like sushi, I love sushi. I love it. It's awesome. Okay, we got a coupon for this Wednesday, so guys, it's going to be good, 10% off. But you know, when we are satisfied, thank God. You have a great coffee? Thank God. You have a great fellowship? Thank God. Praise God about that. You have a great D time, a triad, or maybe your boss is happy with you? Praise God for my boss. And you're satisfied, and you're eaten? Praise God. We're going to do that together in our communion. And he goes on, be careful that you do not forget the Lord your God, failing to observe His commands, His laws, and the decree that I'm giving you this day. Otherwise, when you eat and are satisfied, when you build fine houses and settle down, and when your herds and flocks grow large and your silver and gold increase and all you have is multiplied, then your heart will become proud. And you will forget the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. God is saying, when you don't thank God, when you don't praise God, you become proud. You become ungrateful. So today, this month, I want us to write down, what are you grateful for, and thank God for everything. You ever thank God for your legs? I do that. I thank God for my hands, my head, my body, my wife. Write down. Just thank God. Whatever you have. God said, I want to multiply. Thank God for that. Remember, because a lot of times when we're satisfied, we don't thank God. We don't go back and thank God. We're like, oh, I deserve it. And that's what the next passage is about. Let's continue. He led you through the vast and dreadful desert, that thirsty, waterless land with his venomous snakes and scorpions, reminding them where they came from. He brought you out water out of the hard rock. That's where Hard Rock Cafe came in. He gave you manna to eat in the desert, something your fathers had never known, to humble and to test you so that in the end it may go well with you. In the end, not now. It's in the long run. We got to be patient, brothers and sisters. We can't be this, press a button, I want a miracle today. I want miracles to happen in Cornerstone, and I want it in Kazoo, Western Michigan. But God is not a vending machine. I'm going to press this button. No. Then I don't need to pray. There's no faith involved. God wants me to walk humbly. When you do that, you'll be amazed what God does that to your life. You may say to yourself, my power and the strength of my hands are produces wealth for me, but remember the Lord your God, for it is He who gives you the ability to produce wealth. And so it confirms this covenant which you swore to your forefathers as it is today. Who gave you the ability to produce wealth or to work, to get a paycheck? It's not because of your good looks or the best resume you ever printed out. It's God. God gave you. Keep that in mind. All the time, church. Whatever you have, it's not because of your boss. Yeah, maybe it's the boss, but God put that boss there. God put that company there. God opened the doors. And so at this time, we're going to take bread and the wine together. And I want us to thank and praise God for what He's done. So if you want to go and pray by twos or just next to the person next to you, just praise God. Ask God what God has done in our lives. And the more we do that, the more we recognize and acknowledge, the more humble we become. Isn't it amazing? You know, I love the singing and the worship. Thank you, Ota and Darcy and the whole, everybody. We want to bring in more worship, more praising God. We want to be more thankful and grateful. Amen? Because that keeps us humble. Amen? Let's go ahead and pray. Father, we thank you so much for this time. Thank you, God, for the breath. Thank you, God, for all the blessings. Our job, our dads, our moms, our friends, our siblings, for the relationships we can have, for an understanding with each other. Thank you, God, for the Holy Spirit. Thank you, God, for the Word of God. Every word, there's a word for every problem in our life. And God, it's up to us to search for it. And God, that we will embrace the Word more powerfully, that we will apply, that we will memorize, that we will implement, that we will put that heart, that Scripture in our heart. And God, when it comes to anger, that we will say, I refuse to give in to the devil. It's not, our battle is not with each other. It's not with the flesh and blood, but it's with Satan. Father, I pray that each one of us will be very, very grateful for the jobs we have, for the paychecks, for the money. God, we have food. There are countries in this world, in Africa and around the world, they're going through famine. God, there's bloodshed in the Middle East. God, there are people dying, there are orphans dying in India and around the third world. God, there are places in the world that are landmines and they have to go to work. God, we don't have any landmines here. Praise God for that. Lord, there are places there, there's no gas, there's no petroleum. God, there are places where there are 10% inflation and God, they had to pay so much more gas. God, there are so many people who just go cycling to work 3, 4, 5, 10 miles. God, there are brothers and sisters who walk 3 hours a day just to go to church and still be happy and fired up. God, there are places in the world there are no buses because it's strike. There's riots on the state. They have to go walking. God, there are brothers and sisters on a Sunday, they take 3 hours to go to church, stay for training, fellowship, discipleship, and reach home in the evening, and they're still happy. God, help us never to complain that we have church only from 10 to 11:30. God, they have no Panera Bread. They have no Kentucky Fried Chicken or IHOP or God, Buffalo Wild Wings. They haven't seen a Wild Wing for years. God, there's so many things we have today, Lord. God, we have machines, we have phones. Our people in the world have no phones. They got no cars. Majority of people in the third world, God, they have no cars. There are cars that have no seat belts, Lord. They have to hang onto their steering so they don't get in an accident. God, there's so much to be grateful for, Lord. Thank you for each one of us, Lord, that we're willing to look in the eye and love each other and forgive. That we can hug and that we can change. That we have the Holy Spirit, the power to change. God, I pray that each one of us in this room will be super grateful for the Word of God. I pray, God, that even this week, this month, we will talk about our timeline, talk about the issues in our heart, and get rid of all the issues. And let the Word of God dwell deeply in our heart, according to James 1. That will humbly save us. Thank you, God, for the power of fellowship. Thank you, God, for your cross. That you are willing to go ahead of us in spite of all the sins we've done. I pray each one of us here will take charge of their life. And God, learn to be humble as we do our journey with you. Thank you so much for this time. In his name we pray.